My youth group were doing a worship service about a year and a half ago, which they do every year in February. And I am always there as I'm able to, in attendance and sitting there cheering them on. And this particular service, they were asking a lot of questions and challenging the assumptions we were made about their, as they went from 14 to 18 and starting to gain responsibility and accountability, and they were starting to push the edges, and they were questioning things like, why do we always have to have permission slips when we leave the property or in anything we're doing with the church? And why can't we play cards against humanity at church? Now, for those of you who are not familiar with Cards Against Humanity, I encourage you to go ahead and Google it when you leave the service. Don't do it now. But let's just say that this is a game that is intentionally meant to offend, intentionally created to be not politically correct. And at this point, the youth were just struggling and pushing against boundaries, as youth should be doing. But partway through the service, two or three of them started saying, what we really need is adult training camp. We want adult training camp. Why can't we have adult training camp? And I'm sitting there in the pews going, this is it. You're in it. It's called church. And I said, there's good news. There's good news about training camp. There are no exams. The bad news is nobody graduates. And really, the purpose of adult training camp for all of us is to enhance the potential of each person, and so that we can learn to trust ourselves and our inner voice and each other. This is adult training camp. Now, for our youth and young adults, which again, the UUA, Unitarian Universalist Association, generally marks from high school age 13 to 14 to 35, as they mature, that's a huge amount of time that they are maturing. They are facing multiple and complex transitions, unique developmental needs over really a 20-year span. It's massive. Well, I decided, as someone who grew up Unitarian Universalist and someone who recognized how few of our youth stay in our faith, and all those complexities, how are we supporting our youth and our young adults? How are we trying to get their attention in this very busy 21st century world? How are we supporting them in their faith? How are we caring for them that's appropriate for their developmental needs? Are we giving them the opportunity for deep reflection about their faith and their values? Are we strengthening their religious identity so that it is deep, so it is secure during these pivotal developmental times? How are they navigating and negotiating adolescence into young adulthood with their church support? Now, for young adults in particular, as they negotiate and navigate and they're entering college perhaps or going directly to the job market, are they establishing enduring relationships in this transitory world? They're doing taxes, they're managing debt, they're buying houses, they're having children. How are they supported by their church through all this? Youth, and in particular their time and their energy, and their religious identity through really crucial formative years. Are they committed as Unitarian Universalists? Do they even identify as Unitarian Universalists? Have they a need for spiritual community? As you heard in one of the quotes, one of them said, I don't know, and yet that worries me. Do they feel their Unitarian Universalist church is there for them through all this? And are they ready and prepared in turn to give service to their church and their community? Do they understand the value of service? And you step back from this Unitarian Universalist world and into the larger context, are they able to articulate their beliefs in a pluralistic world that is rife with emotionalism and heightened judgment? How do they manage in a world of competing interests, emotional change, first as adolescents and then as young adults and then perhaps as parents? And are we really challenging them as well as supporting them in appropriate ways, raising the awareness of cultural and social influences that are being fragments of meaning in their lives at a heightened pace every day as they turn on flickering screens in all of its myriad forms? All those images are hitting their subconscious. How aware are they? How aware are they to explicitly incorporate their Unitarian Universalist identity? Now, we're not trying to fix them, but to enhance the potential of each person to learn to trust their inner voice as well as the voice of those around them. So the question with the youth group in Cards Against Humanity, I realized I needed to meet with the youth group and have this conversation. And we did. We met just about a month later, and we started to talk about the cards, and I started to ask them questions about, well, are there conversations in your school or in your family about, say, white privilege and things like misogyny and issues around sexual abuse? And they're all like, no. And we started to get into deeper about the vacuum of opportunity to have these very difficult conversations. And then we say, well, we know about white privilege, but not much more than that. They know it's kind of like the elephants that walk all over their schools and in their homes, but nobody really sits down and talks about it. And we talked about the pros and cons of Cards Against Humanity, and we talked about, well, what happens when you have, say, a 14-year-old who may be new to the church, you don't know their story, maybe they're African-American or they're Asian, maybe they've experienced sexual abuse. And you have people who are 18 and about to go to college. We talked about power imbalance. We talked about hidden wounds, and we talked about respect and safe places. And they got the problems involved. And then one of them said, yeah, but what if we go off to a party? Maybe we're in college, maybe not, and they're playing Cards Against Humanity, and we've realized we're uncomfortable and we need to say something. How do we learn to have that conversation? And I thought, boy, these kids are wise. So we agreed that they could play Cards Against Humanity and use it as a tool, as long as they have an adult advisor with them, and that any one of them has the power to stop and say, I'm done. Any one of them has the power to stop and question. Any one of them has the power and the authority to say, no more. They use it as a tool, and the advisors are there to make sure there's a safe place to have these difficult conversations. I love these kids, absolutely love them. Their wisdom and the recognition that if they can't have these conversations at their church, where are they going to have them? The youth and the young adults, they need to recognize they need this intellectual rigor. They need to have the integrity to withstand this pluralistic world out there. They need to talk about ideas about God, theological constructs such as evil and suffering and heaven and hell and salvation for whatever they think it is. All these relate to what's called spiritual formation and their religious identity. All of us have that, but those age range from 14 to 35 are some of the most formative years in our lifespan. So thus I created a whole project around my doctoral research, working with them through a whole semester. They had a group that was both youth and young adults. Mostly the young adults were the advisors. I had sessions with them as well, but it was all about mentoring. That was the heart of my project, mentoring relationships. The idea was, though, to deepen their Unitarian Universalist identity, increase their awareness, and their ability in four areas that were measurable. And I went with the four areas because they were measurable, but they also correlated with another study so I could compare our youth and young adults to the larger population in the country. How do our youth and young adults compare? So four areas: values. How do the values look? Their sense of life purpose. Their worldview, that is, worldview is this a safe world? Is this a dangerous world? Or is this a neutral world? And finally, beliefs. So going into this study, and I did interviews before and afterward to measure different results, I expected these are Unitarian Universalists. Many of the youth had been raised, some of the young adults had been, but I expected them in open-ended questions about principles and values that they would name the Unitarian Universalist principles, and yeah, not. One did, that surprised me at first, disappointed me at first. And then I realized that this actually supports what we already know. And that is that we value relationship more than static text. That the principles and purposes may be important to them, but what's more important are the people and their lives, and thus the mentoring relationship. The other things that I found that were very interesting, neither the youth nor the young adults offered the word humanist to self-describe their beliefs. These are not the humanists of the 20th century. I found that the Unitarian Universalist young adults, they're slightly more positive worldview than the youth. No surprise there. The youth going through adolescent angst, everybody sucks. Both groups, though, both the Unitarian youth and the young adults are more positive than the young adults and the general population. That I found. In the general population, there's more prominent themes about chaos and corruption than you find in our youth and young adults. For theodicy, now theodicy, this is views about the nature of God, okay? Youth and young adults are less theologically deterministic. That is a directive, predetermined God. The general population tends to be very deterministic in their God. Our youth and young adults tend to believe in a God that, if they do, that is more random rather than human intervention. One youth said, things happen for a reason, not because of a higher power, but for a mathematic or logic reason. Things can be explained by causation. Now, my results show that the youth define life purpose through their career choices. That makes sense. One thing about youth that I discovered very repeatedly, do not ask them about college at any point in high school. I know it's a common question when their junior and their senior year. It will only increase their blood pressure and their anxiety. Just don't go there. Ask them about Cards Against Humanity. That they want to talk about. Our young adults, they tend to identify their primary life purpose through relational roles. Being a colleague, being a parent, being a friend makes sense. By then, they've already gone into the job market. But in the larger U.S. population, there's no clear sense of life purpose. Again, our youth are not the same as the general population. Values, this was interesting. The predominant value amongst the youth and young adults in my church was what's called eudaimonic. Eudaimonic, I love that word. E-U-D-A-I-M-O-N-I-C, eudaimonic. It's about self-improvement, And that's how they gain their life happiness, through self-improvement. And that's as opposed to being hedonistic and pleasure-oriented. So our youth tend to be more eudaimonic in their values around happiness. In the general population, they tend to be more pleasure-oriented and hedonistic. One young adult said, placing life's goal toward accumulating things doesn't bring lasting happiness. It often leaves emptiness. Now, what I confirmed, though, as you've probably already figured out, is that youth and young adults in my church, which I think are pretty typical of other UU churches, they are outside of the predominant theological norms of the rest of the U.S. population. That's in their theology, their values, their worldviews. It's less certain about life purpose. They don't fit in the rest of the country's population. I have this vision of a vital, engaging, supportive, challenging, and an awesome Unitarian Universalist community. And it'll be a core part of their life experience, where they can really be a part of this adult training camp, enhancing the potential of each person, learning to trust themselves and others, because they don't fit the same norm in the rest of the country. They need a safe place, just as we do, as adults, most days. Intentionally inviting them is so important. Cross-generational relationships, so important. Mentoring. Don't assume that they're staying home because they want to. Intentionally inviting them into relationship. The youth and young adults, they want to know you. They want to know their minister. They want to know their community. Integrating them through groups. It's still important to have separate young adult groups and youth groups, but still integrating them as much as possible. They want to be of service, but they're not quite sure what that means and what a service look like and how it's meaningful. They need that safe haven. So this is probably the biggest message, how important this community is to give them a safe place in a world that is often a little scary some days. So in my thesis defense last spring, one of my advisors asked if I died tomorrow, what did I want my youth to know? What did I want my young adults to know? Oh, and my answer was so fast off my lips, and I said, I want them to know that they loved. I want them to know that they have inherent worth and dignity. And I want them to be Unitarian Universalists. I want them to know that they can trust themselves and each other as they carry our future into their lives. Amen.